All right. Hi, everybody. It's RCFB Talk 63. My name's Bob Akairi. I'm going to be joined by my co-hosts, JD and Sirius, and we have a very special guest who's going to be joining us today. We have Washington State head coach Jake Dickert. He's going to be joining us in a moment, and we are going to have a great conversation about what's going on the Palouse. JD, have you made it up?
Yes, I have. And I'm super excited to talk with Coach Dickert today. Last year, I got to see the Wazoo Cougs actually play in two different games when they got to win against Arizona in Martin Stadium up in Pullman, one of the first early games of Jake Dickert's career, initially as the interim head coach. But it was an exceptional time. Got to have a red carpet tour of the incredible facilities that have been built out on the Palouse. And then, of course, got to go to the Sun Bowl, which was that crazy game where it ended up being Miami ended up having to pull out at the last moment because of COVID. We had Central Michigan driving a bus about 4 hours north from Tucson, Arizona, where their bowl game had been canceled because I believe it was Boise State who had to cancel because of COVID. But it was a game that ended up being engineered in the course of less than 72 hours. And then a wild result on the field. But it's going to be a really awesome time to talk with Jake Dickert, talk about the momentum that Wazoo is having, what it's going to be like under his administration. I know he's a coach that is absolutely fired up to be a full-time head coach in his first full year as head coach. And I'm sure he's going to have a fantastic conversation here with us today.
And I see the coach. We're going to go ahead and invite him as well. So I know sometimes there's a minor delay with Twitter response. Oh, there we go. He's up. Coach, thanks for joining us.
There we go. I'm ready to go. Technology gets me every time. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, I just want to say a belated happy birthday. I know that was yesterday, so I'm happy for you. Did you have a good birthday?
It was great. I'm a big meatloaf guy, so I had my favorite meal, a little cake and ice cream, and we celebrated in style. So last year in my 30s, I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I miss my 30s. You know, and I can imagine how hyped are you? This is the first season opener for you as the head coach of Washington State.
Well, I just think there's so much excitement about around our university and our program, and obviously our new quarterback and coaching staff, and you know, it's just fun just to see the cheerleaders are practicing on the field right now, and a week from about today, the RVs will start coming in, and it turns into an event here in Pullman. So this is what college football is all about. I think Washington State is a unique place if you've never been here for a game, and it just means so much to our people. So it's exciting to get that part of just this college football pageantry started again.
I know with everything coming in, you mentioned those RVs. Like I mentioned just a little bit ago, my first experience with Wazoo was that Arizona game last year where, you had snow in the first half, deep fog in the second half. But let me tell you, Wazoo fans are some of the craziest, most passionate fans I've ever seen in any college football environment. You start off with a rivalry game pretty early in the year with that Battle of the Palouse. I know you're friends with Jason Eck, the head coach over there. You guys both coached together at one point, didn't you?
We did. It's funny kind of how life, takes you in all sorts of different places. And then, we're both in our first, true year as head coach playing against each other. In 2014, he was the OC at Mankato, Minnesota State Mankato, and I was the DC when we went to the national championship game. And then actually a couple of years later, we reunited through different paths at South Dakota State, and we had a deep playoff run. So he's a great offensive mind. He's got great energy. He's fun to be around, and I do consider Jason Eck my friend. So to be able to do it, it'll be a fun competition, and they'll be ready for game day.
Coach, there used to be a really interesting tradition between – these two schools called the Losers Walk. Not sure if you've heard of it yet. It ended quite a while back. But is there any chance of bringing that back where students from the losing school would actually walk to the campus of the winning school and then they'd get rides back to their home campus?
I heard just a little bit about it, but I love it. I might have to get Coach Eck and we might have to make this a real deal because, that's what the traditions, I think, just to your point, just make it fun. So Battle of the Palouse, I mean, it's a region of the country that I think is very unique, and we love it. And to have two flagship institutions within 10 miles of each other is something that's really fun. So we might have to get that back on the radar.
You know, speaking of two flagship institutions, you kind of won an important rivalry game last year, but I wanted to speak specifically about the Apple Cup. You know, when I got to go up to Martin Stadium, got to take a tour, got to go see the facilities that have recently been rebuilt and built up in the locker rooms, in the weight rooms, in the north part of the complex. But one thing that I really noticed was all of the countdown clocks that were in those gyms and those weight rooms, specifically counting down the time until the Apple Cup. You got the win against the Huskies this last year. Did you put the clocks back up again this year for a repeat?
Well, the clocks are definitely up. And it's one of those things, you know, I respect the rivalry, but you really don't understand it until you're in one. And you really don't understand it, you know, probably what it means to people until you win one. And got to do that in our first go-round at it. But to end a seven-year drought or whatever it was with COVID, it meant so much to our people, our faculty, our alumni, our town, just everyone associated with Washington State. It was a big deal. And I want our guys to know and understand, you know, this rivalry divides houses, right? You're one side or the other. And there's a lot of people that have played in this game that it means a heck of a lot to. So it should mean a lot to them, you know. But, you know, we got to make sure it's done in a respectful way. And, you know, I even know their coach quite well as we kind of journeyed through our paths together. So the clocks are up. We'll be ready for that moment when we come. It's a long ways away from right now. But we're excited to have it Saturday, Thanksgiving weekend, back here at Giesa Field.
And, you know, maybe if you win this year, y'all get to rush your own field as well for this year. I think that was still one of my favorite college football moments of finally getting that huge win in the rivalry game and then being able to storm your opponent's stadium. That was one of the greatest scenes, I thought, of last year's college football scene. What was it like to be in the middle of all that madness with that kind of a huge win?
Well, I always refer it back to I just wanted it so bad for that team. That team went through a lot. They stayed together. They kept working. And to reap the rewards of that was something that was really, really special for that group. You know, so this year will be a new challenge, and it shows the passion of our fan base and just how much it means to them. You know, but I think at the same time, you know, this year will be a new challenge. Every year is something different. But, you know, for that team in that moment, I think it was really, really special and something that, you know, that team and everyone involved will never forget.
Coach, speaking of that team, you know, they've had quite a bit of adversity that they had to face in 2021. A lot of changes and turmoil and some losses. Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like guiding them as a leader of these young men and trying to help support them as they dealt with everything they had to face this past year, and, you know, what impact that's had as you prepare for 2022?
Well, I think the biggest thing is those players made a choice, right? They distinctively made a choice to stay together and want to keep going and to write our own story. You know, we didn't let a situation define us. We knew we were a good football team and we wanted to go out and prove it. And that team had a lot to play for, right? In that moment, we could still win the Pac-12 North. And that was our focus and nothing was going to deter us from doing that. And what the young guys learned and what the older guys now can talk about and tell them about is just that adversity, you know, you got to keep growing, right? We use this term adversity plus resiliency equals your growth. Right, we were really a resilient group to overcome life's challenge, right? And those young men grew from that, and they're sharing that experience of that growth, right? So I think that's really, really important for young guys to understand that this game really represents some ups and downs and challenges that you'll have in your life. So to have an opportunity to do that, to go through it and to share it and to have some success through adversity, I think it is really cool for those guys to talk about, because it bonded us close together instead of breaking us. And that's a special deal. And that'll always be remembered from last year's team.
How have you gone about establishing your own culture with the program? Because obviously midway through the season, you take over at the top, and now you've had an off season to kind of catch your breath and form this program into something you and your personal style would do. What are some of those steps you've taken to emphasize team unity among the players?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing when you take over a situation like that is you just gotta, whether you felt like it was right, wrong, or indifferent, you just have to keep the schedules and the mentality all the same so we can keep going through it. But once January 1st hit, this is the new Wazoo. And it all started with our exit interviews with the players. You know, they needed accountability. They know they need it. They actually crave it, but they don't always love it. But it starts with accountability, the accountability to wanting to be our best each and every day, and more importantly, accountable to holding each other to that standard. And that is on and off the field, right? So, you know, we had a team draft. We put them into different teams after the workouts. We would have team challenges. You know, there's this expression I use called creating collisions, right? I wanted our team to get back to knowing each other. Right. So it isn't just the D tackles or the running backs. I want those guys mixed together. And coming off of COVID, you know, I thought it was really important that we started building a team. And there's a mentality to that. And there's a toughness to it. And there's a physicality that we need to play with. But it also was combined with hiring 22 new staff members. And, you know, that's a lot of people to turn over a program. And to get everybody on the same page, pushing in the same direction with the same messaging. But I think it brought in a new energy and a new life to our program that I think was really needed. And, you know, just excited, you know, now having them through fall camp, you know, they're really learning and understanding what our guys want to do. I mean, during fall camp, you know, we read a book together, right? And, you know, there's ways of sharing and growing and being vulnerable in those type of situations that really bond a team together. You know, but our culture will be tested through adversity that'll come throughout the season. Right, so I'm excited to, you know, really have the proof in the pudding and show what we've been working on really all the way since January 1st.
Speaking of those new staffers that you brought in, Eric Morris joined your staff from Incarnate Word, where he was really successful and head coach. Now he's your offensive coordinator. Can you tell us a little bit about what to expect and, you know, what he brings to your team this year?
Well, I think Eric is one of the bright young offensive minds in the whole country. And, you know, I knew it was going to be the biggest hire that we had to make. And it was aligning, you know, a vision of what offensive football is. And I think Eric is very multiple. He's reintroducing the tight end position back into Washington State because I think that creates all sorts of multiplicity that you can have. It's the ability to play at any tempo. And yet it's, you know, the ability to have the exciting explosive offense that Washington State has been known for. So to take those air raid pass concepts and mix it in with some physical downhill run game is exciting for me. And I believe he has that ability to shape our offense to our personnel. And I think that's what makes a really good coach. It isn't just these are my plays. It is this is what I'm going to do that's best fit for our players.
And of course, along with Eric Morris, you were able to get Cameron Ward coming in, making the transition from FCS Incarnate Word up to FBS. Pretty exciting stats that he had last year tearing it up in the FCS division. So are we going to get to see a little bit more of that this year on the Palouse?
I would love to have those same stats. I mean, you know, he's explosive. You know, just really getting to know Cam and getting to see him out on that field. He's different. He's special, but he's a competitor. And I think that's what makes him great. And that's what makes him different. You know, he wants it. He works it. There's a detail to it. And he's very passionate about how he does and what it means to be a strong leader on this football team. So he also walked into a situation where I'm proud of him. He's worked his tail off and he's earned the respect of this team. And, you know, just excited to continue to see his develop growth, right? Everyone knows from your freshman to sophomore year, that's when you make your biggest jump. You know, Cam's just going to do it at two different places, but in an offense that he's very, very familiar with, now with more weapons than he's ever had. So we just need to keep him upright, protected, and I think he'll be as advertised and then some.
When you mention the guys who are doing that kind of major development in between those earlier years, who are some of the other guys that you've seen a lot of huge improvements in camp so far that other people might not necessarily know about or might not have on their radar just yet?
Yeah, I think Dejon Stribling, you know, I think and he was honorable mention, you know, last year in the Pac-12 as a freshman, you know, and now he's really moved into, you know, our dominant receiver role. I think he's one guy that because of what we do offensively on the outside, we're going to use him doing a lot of different things. He's going to stretch the field. You're going to see him in motion. You know, we're going to use him in creative packages, you know. And don't forget, Renard Bell is back. You know, he's in his seventh year just from COVID and injury. And, you know, we forget how great Renard was even a couple of years ago, and compare him, you know, pair him up with Cam Ward, I think it's going to be a formidable duo that we can really count on. The other big one to me that's going to jump off the table that's been a player for us is Brennan Jackson, but I just expect really big things. This is his first year in his whole career that he's been healthy in the offseason, and he's an edge pass rusher that I think is ready to play his best football. And, you know, the guy that I think continually stands out to us, Jaden Hicks. You know, he's a redshirt freshman from Bishop Gorman, and he's just kind of handled every challenge that we've had for him. And, you know, the biggest role that we need to fill is in our defensive secondary at safety. And I think Jaden has really proven to be pretty special. So, you know, we're excited about what he brings. And there's been a bunch of guys that have really popped after finally getting a full off season of training.
I've been meaning to ask, how is Renard Bell looking right now? Because it's terrible to have that kind of an injury and then miss a season. How's he been next? He was the fastest guy you had, at least before this season. I don't know if he's there's others that are competing with him over speed, but I assume how's he doing?
He's doing great. It's one of those things when you have an injury with a senior in the moment. You know, last summer we were all bummed out. You know, now this year I'm celebrating, you know, because we got an explosive playmaker that is just different. And in the spring, he was in there feeling his way out. Now in the fall, he's finally cut it loose. The other day in the scrimmage, someone tackled him for the first time, and he's like, ooh, I'm glad to get that over with, right? But it's just a different flash that you see that not many people have. And I just think it's fun to be a part of. We'll try to get him some touches in a lot of different ways, and I think he can be explosive in the return game. So to have Renard back, just to be a leader and to, you know, have some experience that was part of a top 10 team here at Washington State is huge.
You know, you also brought in from Incarnate Word, Rob Farrell, and he had a great story. I mean, I've been reading about him and just what it took to get to where he is. It sounds like he really had to be a fighter for it. How's he been for the team?
Rob's story is incredible. I mean, you're talking to, you know, about a guy that slept in his car at junior college to, you know, to make ends meet and, you know, to end up to where he was at, to graduate and create an opportunity for him, you know, I think is really, really special. And those are the stories that I think the more you really dive into college football is what makes it special. And Rob has done a good job. You know, he'll be a factor in special teams. It'd be a big factor on offense. And he's one of those guys that's really just hungry to prove himself. And he's carried a chip on his shoulder probably his whole life if you really talk to him. And, you know, just excited about what another element that he can bring, because the more, you know, fast offensive players you have, let's get them on the field and let's find a way to get them the ball in space.
So speaking with that type of speed and the kind of offense that you've really implemented for that offense, you know, you came in as a defensive coordinator originally from Wyoming before you took this job. What's been your approach for hiring your additional offensive assistants? What are you looking for when you're trying to find a coach and you say, hey, you're a guy that I want to be a part of my team?
Yeah, well, I think the most important position on the whole football team is offensive line. Okay, and that has been a philosophy of mine for a long time. And to bring back Clay McGuire, who was here in 2012 through 2017, was huge, right? Because the biggest thing we talked about, you know, when I interviewed Clay was our vision for recruiting and how we need to build up our front and how he did it, you know, because in a unique way, in 2018, we played Washington State at Wyoming and they were massive. And that was the year after Clay left. So he recruited all those guys. And we need to get back to that. And of all those guys, Joe Filani, Nick Whitworth, Mark Atuwaya, Clay and Eric, you know, they all have some connection back here. It's really important for me, guys, to understand that when I hire a staff, you know, I want every piece of them. And that includes their wife, right? So Joel was actually a graduate assistant here. Eric Morris, our offensive coordinator, was actually Leach's first wide receivers coach. Clay worked here. Coach Whitworth, you know, he's been in the Pacific Northwest forever. So guys that understand Washington State are really important to me. And I think we got a staff that's passionate to be here, but you got to have an energy. And Coach Atuwaya has more energy than we could possibly have. I wish I could bottle it up and sell it. But he's great for our players, and it's that mix of personalities. And you know, they're all loosely connected through, you know, Coach Leach and the air raid. And, you know, it's just an exciting offense to be a part of.
You know, on the other side of the ball, you brought in Brian Ward as your defensive coordinator. And I know you work with him at NDSU. I think, were you a graduate assistant for him back at North Dakota State?
Yeah, I was his graduate assistant.
Oh, that's great. And I know he previously was a head coach before that at McPherson in the NAIA. So yep. He's got some background leading a program. What's it like having him in your staff?
Well, I always say Brian has the toughest job, right? You know, to do the job that the head coach used to do. But there was really only one person that I trusted, you know, to do that, and it was him. You know, we see defense very much the same. We've been clinicking with each other, you know, really over the last 10 years multiple times, and have always stayed in touch and, you know, kind of tossing back ideas back and forth if we've kind of made this. So when this opportunity happened, you know, he was the one guy I knew that I wanted in our corner. And I trust the way he does it. I love his plan. And I know he knows, you know, the general structure of what we want to do. And what I love about it now, you know, going into year three here in the similar defense, is that if you're not evolving, you know, defensively, you're going to fall behind, right? So he's brought a lot of ideas, you know, outside of our box, outside of our tree that, you know, we've had an opportunity to implement that will really help us as we keep moving forward. So I'm just happy to have Brian and his family here. And I think he's here for the right reasons.
I know he also brought a couple of good transfers with him from the Wolfpack in Nevada, because you've got Dion Henley and Jordan Lee both coming on the defensive side of the ball with him. Is it nice to have some folks who are familiar with his system coming right in to the Cougs?
He's very familiar with them, you know, but obviously both of them came through the portal, not with them. But at the same time, Dion Henley is a guy that is just flat out special. You know, and I've had an opportunity to be around three NFL linebackers at Wyoming that are playing in the NFL currently, and he's going to be just as good as those guys. He's explosive. He's smart. He's very physical, and he's only just been playing this position for a couple of years. I mean, that's what's the amazing part when NFL guys come across. You know, 2 years ago, he was playing wide receiver. So his ceiling is still very, very high, and he's got a lot of want to. So I think those aspects make it sharp, and Jordan Lee, he's just an old school football player. Like, he knows who he is. He plays to his strengths. He's very physical. We get an opportunity in our defense to utilize his strengths in the box. You know, so it's an impressive combination. And really, you know, they're replacing, you know, Jihad Woods, right, who ended up in the top five of all-time tackles here, and replacing Daniel Isom, who's still, you know, working, trying to make the NFL roster with the Rams. So ended up being two vital positions for us to have success again on defense.
Coach, I know that one of the other huge things that you've had in going up into Pullman and kind of getting the opportunity to make your own identity inside of Pullman, what have been some of the traditions that you've really loved at Washington State so far? I mean, anything from Old Crimson to the tailgating scene, it's kind of iconic when you start talking about the stuff that happens on the Palouse, but what have been some of the things that have really struck out to you so far?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and I'll get to your question in a second, is just that this place fits me, right? I'm a small-town Wisconsin kid, right? I know a lot of people know my story just playing Division III football. Like, when I look out my office windows, you know, I love it, right? I can get to my boys' T-ball game in 5 minutes, and I value that, and that means a lot to me. And this is harvest season, right? This is blue-collar, hard-working people that just fit. Like, when we win games, the food that they eat tastes better. That's how much they're invested here, right? And it isn't just me, it's our family that we love it, and this is very familiar to us, right? When the RVs start pulling up on Thursday, you know, those guys, they all want me to come out there and hang out with them and have some fun, and we'll do some of those things. But it's just electric, and it's the buy-in, because the experience here at Washington State with the fan base and the Cougar Walk and the band, you can feel it, you can see it, you can touch it. And that's what our fans get to experience about our program. You know, we just had, you know, the National Lentil Festival is right here in Pullman, Washington. It is the largest bowl of lentil chili you've ever had, and I had the opportunity to stir it last Friday, right? So for 10 minutes, we take shifts, and we stir the big pot of chili, right? So it is just a fun community that people love, and we love being a part of it, because the access that you have and our players going in that parade, like, there's just a buy-in and a connection between Washington State and Pullman that's hard to even express in words until you're here.
Yeah, I mean, again, I got to experience that firsthand when I went up for the Arizona game last year. Whether it was, you know, sharing drinks at Valhalla, getting burgers over at the Cottage. I mean, there is something different about Washington State fans and the absolute buy-in that they have for this type of program. Everything that you've said, I can 100% testify to all of that.
Yes, and there's some traditions I can't speak of that you can. So I'm glad you mentioned some of those.
But man, again, Pullman is just such a gorgeous little corner of the Pacific Northwest. It's such a wonderful place to be, especially when you're trying to do that type of college experience. I know that when I got to go tour that and I was talking with some of the staff, they were talking about you might not get like the flashy Oregon Nikes, or you might not be, you know, in the multi-billion dollar market, but you get something special when you go to Washington State, and that's the family atmosphere. What can you tell us a little bit more, if you're a recruit, of why you want to buy into that family atmosphere when you're looking at a college football program?
Well, you're 100% right. I mean, we use the term flash fails, family prevails, right? We just, standing next to Lamborghinis and taking pictures has nothing to do with football. Nothing, right? So we sell the place. We sell the people. When we recruit people, you know, everyone has a job to do, right? From the president of the university to our coaches, all the way down to our chefs. When we're out in the community, the restaurants, the students, the buy-in, it's just incredible. And it's what I'm very familiar with. Like, it's, and what I love about it is different and it is unique. I've seen so many players flourish from major metropolitan areas that come here. You limit distractions, you have the ability to focus, you get a great education that you can go anywhere in this world and produce and be a Coug. Like, there's just something about it that is really, really special. Okay. And point in case is that look at our TV numbers. Okay. People watch us because when you're here, you're bought into here. And Saturday day games on Geisa Field is an event, right? So you live it. It becomes part of who you are. So, like, those are recruiting pitches to people, but we're finding the right person, right? Not just the best, right? The right guys that fit our mindset, that fit our makeup, that fit our community and want to be here. And I think, you know, obviously we know that college landscape is changing dramatically every second, but I think some of those principles, especially when you're speaking with families, you know, that just resonates with people. And that's what I love about us is when I look out our windows, you know, I see uniqueness, but I see a unique opportunity that we all have to really make this experience something great, right? Because in today's world of cell phones, right, you got to be engaged here, right? And I think that's what makes, you know, our experience and our alumni pretty special. And that's why they want to stay connected and watch us every Saturday.
So, Coach, I just wanted to check in with you. If you've got a roll at 30 minutes, we can do that. Otherwise, if you have a few more minutes, we'd love to ask you a couple more questions.
I do have a few more minutes.
Excellent. Well, you know, one thing, and this was asked, actually, a good question from Ralph Amsden. Pardon me, I'm butchering that name. I apologize. And I have an awkward name, so I get it. You know, you obviously were with Craig Bull at both North Dakota State, but also Wyoming. And at Wyoming, you had Josh Allen. And have you been able to use that story to motivate Cam Ward at all?
I have. You know, we've talked about Josh a couple different times with Cam because they remind me of a little bit similar personalities, the competitor, the fieriness, the guy that just loved going out there and playing ball and playing it in a very unique way. And if you tried to put Josh Allen in a box, he would never be the Josh Allen that he is today. And I tell Cam the same thing, right? There's things about how you hold the ball and what you do out of the pocket that's going to make, you know, some coaches like hair cringe. You got to play that way. You got to allow them to be it. And all I try to do is tell them that I trust you to go out there and make, you know, the biggest decisions for the program. And that's what the quarterback does. So we've used a lot of Josh Allen analogies. And, you know, I just think with those type of players, you got to cut them loose to play free. And I just try to instill belief in Cam as much as I can and let him know that he's got the keys to the car. And I 100% support his decisions as he's going out there because I know they're founded on hard work.
You know, I know you're originally from Wisconsin. You grew up there, the Badger State. You played for Wisconsin Stevens Point, so you're a pointer. Will it be fun to lead a team in the Camp Randall and point them towards the Badgers?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you know, obviously, personally, you know, it'll be a dream come true, you know, but I told the players many times, this, thank God it's not Coach Dickert playing against the Badgers, because we know how that outcome would be, right? So, excited to do it. My uncle played for the Badgers. I think you understand when you're in that state what that means to a lot of kids and walk-ons and traditions, and I'm more excited for our players to go play against the best. It's one of the best teams and the best programs in the country in a harsh environment. That's why you're here, right? To play in front of 90,000 people and all those type of things, and then make sure we're at our best when it comes to that. So obviously a special moment for me, but you know, all my focus will be on, you know, managing that football game as we continue to get closer to it.
Coach, when I look up and down your roster, we've mentioned all the awesome players on there already, but there's one guy that also just strikes me with such a fantastic story, and it's not even, you know, the mustache, the mullet, but it's Jack Wilson's frame and story. I mean, he's 6'11", former basketball recruit, had never played football before, but now he's 320 plus pounds and working on your offensive line. What can you tell us about Jack and how he's performing with the football team?
Jack's story is another unique one. I mean, he came here looking for a strength internship, and our strength coach came running up the stairs and said, you guys got to see this guy. And at that time, Jack was 6'11", and he is 6'11", I think like 250 pounds, and now Jack's 330 pounds. You know, I think one day he'll be a professional WWE wrestler. That's what he looks like. So it's amazing when you finally invest in people and you grow their talent, what can happen. And he's still very raw to this game. He's getting better and better. I do see Jack as a contributor, but I always tell people, don't forget, he only just started playing this game 2 years ago. So, you know, this spring was really his first opportunity to practice and get better. And this fall, you're seeing him take some of those other steps. So trust me, every NFL scout that comes in here goes, who is that guy? Right. So it's exciting to have some of those guys on the team, and Jack's development is getting better each and every day.
Coach, I'm also curious, as you're heading into your first full year as a full head coach, I do want to know, what is the one thing that excites you the most heading into this season?
Well, I think probably just knowing, you know, that this is, you know, I never say this is our team in our makeup and our vision, exactly how we want it. Right. And just really shaping the mindset of that one and all mentality and being process driven. And, you know, Coach Bull, I wouldn't be here without him. You know, he tells me often, enjoy the process, you know, stop, take a breath, understand the hard work that has gone into each and every Saturday. And that's where I'm going to try to go as we go throughout this journey. You take them one at a time. But the opportunity to what I call, you know, being the director of our players' future, I think is really special to me. And I miss the X's and O's, guys. Like, I miss it, right? Especially now that we're getting into game week. I miss those moments. But I think there's a higher calling that I'm really going to enjoy this year and hopefully for many years here at Washington State.
Coach, we've heard a lot of comments from head coaches, especially this past offseason, it feels like, about kind of like the grind of being the head coach of the Power 5 program and all the other little things that you have to do, you know, from the end of the regular season or the bowl season all the way to get ready for the next one. Has there been anything that's really kind of caught you off guard that you weren't expecting? Because, I mean, this is your first head coaching job. You know, obviously you've seen a lot of what goes on, but making that transition from a coordinator up to head coach, was there anything that you were a little surprised by?
Well, I think I got a little on-the-job training last year, kind of in the interim role. Like, I remember that first BYU game coming out of halftime, and the refs asked me which way I wanted to kick off, and I had never even thought about it, right? So there's always those little moments that you learn as you continue to go. And, you know, obviously the transfer portal has changed all of recruiting. The Open 85 has really changed recruiting, and we're kind of changing and evolving as a staff as we continue to go. So there's all those moments, but I would say sitting in this chair, the biggest one is you never know what might pop up in a certain day or who's going to walk in your office or what challenge that you got to try to help them through or face. So it's always unique. It's a different challenge, no doubt, but I think it's one that's really exciting, and just building relationships with our players has never been more important, and I'm excited about doing that every day.
Coach, I think a final question to ask for you. I mean, I know you're excited about X's and O's. You're excited about this head coaching gig. You're also a family man. Mm. You mentioned your family and being able to see your kid play T-ball. You mentioned the importance of family when we were talking about, you know, you need to make sure that you see the entire package, including guys' significant others and making sure they're a part of a team. How has the Dickert family taken to you being a head coaching role? And how exciting has it been for your family for you to go through this experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question because remember, you rewind 2 years ago, you know, I left my greatest mentor in Coach Bull in Wyoming in a very secure and stable place to come here to Washington State. And we did that with a long-term goal and vision in mind. Okay, so when things got crazy and obviously having the opportunity to stay, you know, it was amazing to come deliver that news to my family and my daughter's crying and, you know, it was just a really emotional time to know that we have the ability to stay. And we plan on staying for a very, very long time. And any coach will tell you, you know, you need a strong backbone in this profession, right? And my backbone, my rock is my wife, Candace. I try to spend as much time as I can with my three kids, Riley, Jet, and Jace. They're 11, 8, and 5 now. So that time goes extremely fast. And, you know, I try not to make excuses. Because right, I think a lot of coaches in this profession, they make excuses about why they don't see the family. And I just always want to, you know, work hard. That's the only reason I'm sitting in here, because that's the blue collar mentality I have. But you can't create excuses why you can't do something. And being a dad and a husband, you know, bigger priorities to me than being the head coach, they are. So to be able to do those things, it's really important. And you know, this is the start of the season where it's hard, and to have someone that really supports me and my goals and dreams is amazing to have.
That's living the dream. That's amazing. Coach, thank you so much for joining us. We know you've got a busy schedule, and is there any kind of last pitch you want to give the fans about the upcoming season?
Well, you must have had that on slow motion there, but the biggest thing is I can't wait for September 3rd. You know, and our fan base to be out here in full force and to show the appreciation for the hard work and dedication that our players have put in, you need to be here. And I can't wait to see everybody and to celebrate and to have fun and enjoy the game. And, you know, this is going to be something that we're going to take these one game at a time. So I'm honored and humbled to be the head coach here at Washington State, and one obligation I don't take lightly. And I appreciate the time of you guys giving me an opportunity to share about our program and our story, and hopefully we can do it again sometime. So go Cougs.
Go Cougs. And Coach, I hope that victory bell at the Lewis Alumni Center gets rung multiple times this year after games over at Martin Stadium. Thank you so much for the time, and go Cougs.
Go Cougs. Thank you, guys.
All right. Once again, that was Jake Dickert.
Did I fix that? That was
yes, crazy. There you go. You're
so
back.
Twitter keeps adding functions. So now to the right of the mute button, there's a voice altering button. And apparently I toggled it. So I apologize about that. That was kind of a, you know, I was literally looking at my co-hosts, you know, what they were saying to me, and they're like, you know, dude. But anyway, on behalf of myself, Bob Akairi, on behalf of JD, on behalf of Sirius, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate Coach Dickert for being here, and we appreciate all of you for listening. So now I'm going to hang up and listen.